This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For the millions of people who have served in the military, the chance to talk about a life of duty is not guaranteed. But the festival, Veterans and Their Families, is giving them an opportunity to share their stories. The festival includes three plays still in development. They feature true stories from the home front and the front lines. One of the productions is Silhouettes of Service. The play documents the lives of 18 service members from World War II to today. Veterans and Their Families begins this Friday and continues through January 23rd at Swain Hall at UNC Chapel Hill. Joining me now in the studio is Gregory DeCandia. Gregory wrote and performs in Silhouettes of Service. Welcome to the program, Gregory. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us, Joseph Meagle. Joseph is the festival director and artist in residence at UNC's Communication Department. Welcome back, Joseph.
It's good to be here.
Tell us more about the theory and the mission behind this festival.
Well, as you know, we spend a lot of time at UNC through the process series and the work I do in the Department of Communication, creating opportunities for new work, as well as my theater company, Street Sign Center for Literature and Performance. And so we're always looking for opportunities to give new work voice and opportunity to find, you know, to find where it needs to go. And this January, I was intending on doing a production of a show I did in New York called You Are Dead, You Are Here, about PTSD and veterans. And I was already in conversation with some of the veterans groups here locally. And the artists involved in that project could not do it in January this time. So we're going to reschedule that for next year. And I thought this was an important thing to continue to look at. And there happened to be these projects that were sort of coming to me from different directions, all dealing with the issues of veterans and actually the repercussions on the families of veterans. So not only thinking about what it means to serve and the costs of service, but also sort of the costs that ripple, you know, ripple right around veterans themselves into their families. And so these three pieces all came to me through different venues, and I thought what a great way to give these three pieces an opportunity to find their voice and grow. And as you know, one is Mike Wiley's piece that will be opening at Cape Fear Theater
in Fayetteville.
Called Homefront, Downrange, I mean, Voices from the Homefront. And one is a screenplay called Anlock about a little-known war that or battle that happened in Vietnam. And then finally, Silhouettes of Service that Gregory came to me and presented to the process series. So I thought these three pieces spoke to each other and would be a really great opportunity to have a festival of these three pieces and see how they talk to one another.
Well, you said you were already in conversation with veterans groups, so clearly the idea of embodying these and turning sort of veteran experience into theatrical production was on your mind. What is it about those experiences that you thought was so important?
I think it has a lot to do with that we have a all-volunteer army, a military,
right,
and that there are those people who choose to serve. And that when we get involved in conflict, it doesn't cost all of us across the board the same as it costs a few. And I think it's just really important to take note of that. And in these pieces, they really resonate from the Vietnam experience where veterans came back and they were spit upon to even now where we're not, where we don't necessarily think day to day, oh, yes, we should send our troops. Well, that doesn't affect everybody. It only affects a small group of people. And so I thought we need to sort of not only honor the service, but sort of be aware of the costs.
Well, Gregory, tell us more about your production, Silhouettes of Service.
Well, we were stemming right from that question. Why does less than 1% protect the 99% of the citizens here in the United States? And the impetus of this project actually started second year at my studying at Playmakers and UNC Chapel Hill in their professional actor training program, where we have to focus on a specific Shakespeare character for our entire first semester, second year. And it was suggested to me by the former Playmakers artistic director, Joseph Hodge, to do Coriolanus. And his whole struggle, the whole tragedy of Coriolanus is his personal relationship with service. And my grandfather was in World War II. My stepfather was in the Vietnam War. I actually lost a cousin 5 years back in Afghanistan, but never really had substantial conversations with them about their service. It was so much a part of who they were, but never really got to the nitty-gritty of it. And I thought it was essential to play this character to do that. And I've always been attracted to documentary theater, verbatim theater. Anna Deavere Smith is a hero of mine. Mm. And I thought this is a perfect opportunity to combine my training with a project that I wanted to do. So we ended up interviewing 26 different soldiers, and we've selected 18 of these soldiers to put together in this about, I don't know, what's it been running now, Joseph, a little bit?
We're hoping 90 minutes.
About, it shouldn't be more than 90 minutes.
One of the people you interviewed is a Vietnam veteran named Bob Matthews. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that and about your interview with him.
Absolutely. Bob Matthews is a 40-year veteran of teaching as well as a veteran of the Vietnam War. He actually taught at Enloe High School in Raleigh, and he was there for 16 years, but he started teaching in Pennsylvania. And the interesting story about him is when he came back, he went right from the battlefield to the classroom, and he felt it was essential for young people at that time, this is 1968, that they needed to know what was going on, the ins and outs of Vietnam, and not what the media was telling us, not what the government was telling us, but actually veterans. So he went to the school board and asked if he could do these things, and they said no. And then he chipped away and chipped away and eventually got to teach a course. I actually have his textbook right here in front of me that he wrote. And they've taught in 1,000 schools since 1992. And when I actually told him that the project was picked up, I was calling an associate of his, Bill Dixon, who's the president of the North Carolina Vietnam Veterans Association. And I was like, oh, do you have Mr. Matthews' number? I would like to let him know that he's going to be a part of the show and he's going to be on there. He goes, hold on a second. And I thought he was going to give me the telephone number, but he handed the phone to Mr. Matthews because they were going to a history convention for teachers down in Louisiana, and they were bringing again this curriculum that they've still been teaching.
You did eventually interview Bob Matthews, and we have a little piece of that right here.
I've always cared about serving this country in one way or another because this country has given me everything. It's given me an opportunity. I've had a wonderful life. Almost charmed. And I said, if they call me and if I can't give 2 years to this country, I might as well leave. So I kissed my wife goodbye. And it's here again for 19 months with training and NOM and all that. And so basically, I have a 2-year hole in my life that I gave up willingly to serve this country. And I do it again.
That's a clip from Vietnam veteran Bob Matthews. The interview is part of a new play, Silhouettes of Service, and the play is part of a festival, Veterans and Their Families. It's a 2-week series that starts Friday at UNC. I have the writer and performer of Silhouettes of Service, Gregory DeCandia, with me here. Joseph Meagle is here as well. You know, interestingly enough, you mentioned Coriolanus and how you studied that character for a year, his relationship with duty and service, but also his relationship with the people, which was, there was a fractious divide. And I think that particularly for Vietnam vets, but all veterans will tell you the story that they can't quite tell their story to people who haven't served. There's a bridge there, a gap there that they simply cannot bridge. What did you learn in doing that interview with him that helped bridge the divide for you?
What was interesting is his need to tell the story. He's actually part of the Vietnam Veterans Association that he's with. They actually have this bridge to Vietnam. They've returned back. They've built a playground for an orphanage there. They've donated 200 bikes to an orphanage that's there. They keep on going back because what he says many times in the interview is, we left too early. We promised these people. We were fighting to help these Vietnamese restructure, and we left without having done that. And he continuously comes back to do that. And, you know, being a history teacher, he has that in the back of his mind that history is doomed to repeat itself, and he is hell-bent about making that not happen.
So talk about the production itself. The title is Silhouettes in the Service, right? Silhouettes of Service is the title. How do the silhouettes play a part, and what role do the interviews play?
Well, it is all verbatim interviews. We haven't edited any of the people's speech. We haven't added anything in. It's all directly from their mouths. We may have restructured the order in which they've said it, but I think we only have literally three cuts that one person says when I came here, and they were an ROTC candidate at UNC, so we changed it to UNC. So there's the and tenses we changed actually in Mr. Matthews. We actually incorporate silhouettes into the show. The show is actually performed in an 8-foot by 8-foot aluminum cube that we actually have had people donate, and we were going to have servicemen engraved, their names engraved around the whole set. And it has 2 8-foot panels that serve as projection screens and also silhouette.
You're creating the silhouettes. You're embodying
absolutely
these things.
So I play male. I play female. I play different races. I play different sexual orientations. There's really a wide spectrum of different characters all over the country.
It's really interesting to see Gregory sort of embody the idea of service and the idea of a vet, and then to go to Mike Wiley's, where we have multiple cast members and who are also representing real people and real stories coming right from his work interviewing people at Fort Bragg, and that those and it's across the board, hearing their stories gives them such validation because they don't get to, and they feel seen in a certain way that they don't get to feel that they should. And this other idea of continuing to serve, or that service doesn't stop when you come back from serving.
And in addition to the silhouettes and the interviews, you've also written monologue to go along with each of these, right?
Yes, and they're all the verbatim from these characters.
So you've prepared a little bit of one of those monologues for us now.
Indeed, Bob Matthews, when he explains when he gets back from Vietnam and how he goes into the process of creating his lessons of Vietnam. 68. A lot started to happen. The attitudes changed in Vietnam. We had an election. Richard Nixon was elected. We can see the writing on the wall. First of all, no one wanted to hear about Vietnam. I'm a school teacher, and I tried to teach history in Pennsylvania. I thought, since I am a Vietnam veteran, the only guy in the school, very large school, as a Vietnam veteran, I was going to do I'm going to do a unit on Vietnam, and I'd like all the social studies teachers to come after school one day and let me explain my format. They said no. They said, nobody wants to hear about Vietnam, Bob. Now we're glad you're served. We're glad you're home safe, but Vietnam is not to be talked about. It's unpopular. It's not to be talked about in class. Questions? And I said, well, I'd like to try something. And the principal sat me down and he said, do I have to get rude with you, Bob? And I said, you might. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. I might have to get rude with you, because I know a lot of Vietnam veterans that have come back from Vietnam and they weren't nearly as lucky as me. I came home to a loving wife, to a job, to teach history, and I'm healthy. And I have to tell these young people about Vietnam. It tore a hole in this country that we're still trying to fill up today, a scar, a big scar. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you teach Vietnam, I will fire you. And I said, okay, if you fire me, I will sue you. That night, there was a school board meeting, and I go to the school board meeting.
Yes?
I'm Bob Matthews. I am a first-year teacher. I would like to thank you first for hiring me as a teacher, and I would like the school board's permission to enter a unit on Vietnam in our county's curriculum and be the first person asset to this school system and enlist the help of Vietnam veterans in this county and establish a one-of-a-kind course called Lessons of Vietnam.
Sit down. Next.
I was gagged that night.
That is a monologue from the play Silhouettes of Service, written and performed by Gregory DeCandia. The play is part of the 2-week festival, Veterans and Their Families, starting at UNC this Friday and going through the 23rd of January.
So it's sort of like 3 weeks almost.
It's kind of 3 weeks, yeah. That's Joseph Meagle. You just heard from Gregory DeCandia as well, performing that monologue. You're playing, it's 18 parts in here, and I think one of the interesting things is, again, going back to Coriolanus, the divide between the people, the populace, and those who serve is one of the themes, particularly in that Shakespeare play. But the other thing is the way in which the military reflects almost perfectly the diversity in America, in some ways better than any other service or any other institution that we can think of in this country. And you reflect that. That's reflected in silhouettes as
well. Absolutely. We have three women in the show, which actually statistically we are at the level of women that are serving currently in the military. And it's really interesting. One of the characters actually says, Kirk Wilson, who served in the Navy, said that when he went to basic training, it was actually the first time that he had ever been in the same room with a black person or a Jewish person. And he was just dumbfounded by that. And that's what you have. And there's a lot of comparisons. It's funny that they always go back, even soldiers that are serving today. There's something, I guess the golden age of the veteran was World War II. Mm. That's what they all look up to. All the Vietnam veterans said the reason why they joined is because of the respect and the admiration that people had for those World War II veterans. And we have Ron Harris, who actually goes on to describe how he feels that he's been disrespected for his service. Mm-hmm. And he explains it that the World War II vets, they came back, they had a parade. The World War I vets, they had a parade. And he said, but when the Korean vets came back, they were met with indifference. And when the Vietnam veterans came back, that indifference turned to downright aggression. And that's a direct quote from what he said.
Disrespected in many cases, veterans who were disrespected from those wars and not well understood. I mean, if we're understood now, it's all about glory. And I think veterans want to tell a more nuanced story about all of the emotions and all of the feelings, some of which is heroism, some of which isn't. And the ability to tell in full throat your entire experience, I think, is one of the things that this festival provides.
Absolutely. I think also the sort of complicated ways in which veterans have been asked to serve. For example, you referenced the pacification program in Vietnam, which was created as a way of sort of creating support for sort of American culture in Vietnam and a promise. There's where we built up infrastructure. And that's at the center of the story of An Lạc is this pacification program where An Lạc was built up by the Army Corps of Engineers and there were Army officers involved. And the story is how when the North Vietnamese come through unexpectedly, this one colonel decides, I'm not leaving because of the promise we made to these people. And there's this implied promise when we go abroad and we start conflict to the people we go there, and we don't often follow through with it. And that really gets at the heart of what may affect veterans and their feeling of, well, why am I doing this?
This festival is a works in process. And, Joseph, you also allow for talkbacks, right? Tell us
after every performance, we'll be talking to the audience with the artists about what they heard, what they experienced. And I think this is really an important part of process for an artist to, when they're putting their work out in front of an audience for the first time, getting the audience response is really central to how they continue the work they do.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today, Gregory DeCandia and artist in residence Joseph Meagle. Gregory wrote and performs in the play Silhouettes of Service, part of the nearly 3-week festival, Veterans and Their Families. Joseph is the festival's director. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Coming up, poet Maureen Shirbandi joins us to talk about her meditations on loss, grief, and the challenges of moving on. You'll hear it on The State of Things. Please stay tuned.